In just a moment, I'm going to be reading from Colossians chapter 3, starting at verse number 12. Colossians chapter 3, starting at verse number 12. It's in the New Testament. It's one of the letters. It's on page 272 in my Bible. When God created the earth, when he created the heavens and the earth, he created, saw that it was good, it's perfect, it was beautiful. It's nothing wrong with it. He created humans, us. He created us to take care of it, to maintain it. Some even say he created us to be co-creators. He didn't create us to replace him, but to walk alongside him, taking care of the earth. That means taking care of what he created, taking care of one another. But sin came in and just wrecked it, ruined it, messed it up for everybody. And since that moment, God has been intensely in pursuit of reconciliation with humans. That's the blessing. The fulfillment of God's plan to reconcile with humans is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. That's our belief. That's our confession. And as his church, our message is one that highlights the saving work of Jesus for all humans, all who would say yes to him. That song we just sang, Beautiful Things, it's a recitation, it's a reciting of this beautiful thing that God is doing. That, yeah, things got went awry, decay, death, all that. But God is trying to take what has been broken and make it beautiful. And he does that. It's fulfilled ultimately in Jesus Christ. For the past 4 weeks, we have been looking at this message of what God is doing through Christ Jesus. We've been looking at it through the lens of a letter written to early Christians in the first century. From the confines of imprisonment, Paul is writing this letter to a group of Christians located in a city called Colossae. That city, if you want to look at it on a map, you want to look at modern-day Turkey. Colossae would be a city in that that nation state. And in this letter, Paul is writing to the Colossians, talking about their place in Jesus and talking about the importance of Jesus and helping them to understand who they are in Jesus. We have been reading through Colossians and highlighting some of the themes found therein. In the first week, we looked at the theme of being redeemed. We looked at the work of God that's being done through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was sent to redeem humans from the throes of sin and decay. And then in week two, we took a aim at one of the central assertions in all of the New Testament, that being that Jesus is supreme, or he is superior to everything else. And accordingly, those of us who receive that and believe that he is superior, we make him, we put him, place him in the top position in our lives. He becomes first in everything we do. Week three, we talked about our roots and making sure that our foundation is Jesus. And the grace of God. Our salvation is not a matter of our performance or what we do. Our salvation is the direct result of what God did through Jesus Christ on a cross. As such, we don't do things or not do things to be saved. We do things and not do things because we are saved. There's a difference there. And then last week, we considered the overwhelming implications of being baptized into Jesus. Our baptismal vow is a vow that includes saying goodbye to the old self. That means I'm not what I used to be. That old self is buried, and therefore I'm going to stop doing some of the bad behaviors, and I'm going to start doing some of the good behaviors. We call that putting on Christ, or being clothed in Christ, thus embracing a new identity And that identity that Paul writes is hidden. It's hidden in Christ Jesus. That means Jesus is our life. And so we continue this week reading through Colossians, and we pray that God speaks to our hearts this morning regarding what it means to be chosen. What it means to be chosen. So Colossians chapter 3, starting at verse number 12. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom and with gratitude in your hearts. Sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Many of you know through my many anecdotes, stories, that I played high school basketball. Here's a picture of me. I can't believe I'm saying this. 31 years ago. There I am, number 24. On the Hutch Tech, Hutchinson Central Technical, our school was called Hutch Tech. We were the engineers. We were a bunch of nerds, but we could play basketball. And there I am. Here's another picture of me. I have no clue what I was doing in that picture, but it made the yearbook, so I'm proud of it. I played for a team that did some work. We did some work back in high school in Buffalo, New York. What fascinates me even 31 years later is that as a freshman, I made the varsity team. Now you may be thinking, oh, Dion, you must have been a dog. Man, I was terrible. I was not that good. But I made the varsity team. What I have since learned is that my coach, he was hired, he was a brand new coach my freshman year. And what I learned is that he was going to start all over with the team. The team before actually was pretty good. They had some relative success. They had a player on the team by the name of Kevin Roberson. Kevin Roberson tragically died in a car accident several years ago. But Kevin Roberson was like 6'8", 6'9". He went to the University of Vermont. And for 4 years of college, between 89 and 92, he had the record for the most career blocks in NCAA history until the next year when a guy by the name of Shaquille O'Neal broke his record. But that's how good they were. They had this guy on the team. And so the next year, a lot of guys that were on the team before thought, oh, man, I'm going to make the team. Got a new coach, and, man, we gonna put him some work. And what a lot of players, including a star player, a guy by the name of Rich, all I remember about Rich is he had Jerry curls. And Jerry Curl Rich, he got cut. He didn't make the team, and he caught every player from the team before, except for one player. He kept him. The star player that got cut promptly moved to another school and played for another team. What I learned is that the coach saw some attitude problems with the guys who played before, and he says, you know what? I'm going to pick some guys that have a little bit of skill, but I'm going to pick guys that have a whole lot of character. I'm going to pick some guys who can play basketball, but I want to pick some guys who can learn basketball. And what happened is that he picked a team that was full of character guys, full of guys that were all about teamwork, not I. You know, there's no I in team. I shared with you a few years ago, so each player, when we made the team, we all received a handbook, basketball handbook, basketball team handbook. And when I received this handbook, I thought it was going to be like our plays and, you know, some of the things. And no, it had our schedule. It had some quotes in here. It also had the type of guys that he was looking for on this team. And so I'm reading, you know, some of this from the handbook. It's 30 years old. He says, I want guys that are academically sound. And so the requirements to play basketball in high school is that you had to have a 65 or above. You had to have a passing grade. Our team, if you were on this team, you had to have a grade of 75 or above. He wanted guys that were coachable, guys that could concentrate, guys that would hustle, guys that were aggressive, guys that were loyal, and guys that would get along with other teammates. These are some of the guys that he was trying to avoid, troublemakers in class and at school and at home, boys who know it all, boys who always have an excuse when they make a mistake, those who blame their mistakes on others, those who quit, those who are habitual hypochondriacs, are always injured, making up. Those who are unable to get along with other players or the coach on the court. That's the team we built my freshman year. And that first year, we lost every game but three. But the second year, we won 13 games and lost 10, and we made the playoffs. And that third year, we won 22 games and lost three. When he lost to two opponents, including a stretch of 17 wins in a row, and we lost the final game before the state semifinals. But he built a team based on character, personality, being coachable, these attributes that builds a good team. If you were chosen to be a part of this team, if you were chosen to be a part of the Hutch Tech Engineers, there was something that came along with that. There was some character that had to come along with that. If you were chosen, you were going to represent this team wherever you went. You were to represent the team in the hallways, in the classrooms, outside of school. You were to represent the team when you were on the bus, to games. To be chosen meant something, and it came with responsibility. Now, Paul writes this to the church in Colossians. I just talked a lot about being chosen. As chosen ones. I want you to just stop right there and reflect on Paul's, what he says about who we are in Christ Jesus. We are chosen. There is something powerful about the word chosen. It's something powerful about the word that literally means, in the Greek, it means plucked or picked. That is someone who is looking and sees the one. There's a group of berries there, but the person doesn't just shake the tree and takes all the berries. The person goes to the bush and the tree and picks and plucks out that berry. That's who we are in Christ Jesus. We are especially plucked out, picked out. We are our chosen. We are part of this beloved community. The word chosen is something that we should embrace and wear as something that informs who we are. Now, already as chosen ones, and we looked at this last week, we have been instructed to put off some things. Remember last week, Paul says, as those who are new people, you are hidden in Christ, you need to put off some things. You need to put off sexual immorality. You need to put off slander. You need to put off lying. You need to put off anger. And you need to put off greed and abusive language. Now Paul instructs the chosen ones on some proactive actions that have a lot to do with human interaction. Remember and recall what my coach was trying to do. He was trying to get us to play basketball. He was trying to get us to win games. I want you to know, he wanted to win games, but he wanted us to do it as a team. And he knew that our relationships with one another meant something. It was going to fuel us. It was going to be a part of making something special. In the church, our human relationships and the way we deal with one another will determine how successful we will be in enacting the mission of God in this world. If we can't get along with one another, there's no way we're going to get along with people in the world. And so Paul instructs the chosen ones to do something with their human interactions. He says, put on compassion. That is a heart that cares. That's not a heart that's apathetic and just doesn't care about what other people are going through. No, we stop and we're empathetic and we're sympathetic and we look into the issues in the lives of others before making decisions and before making judgments. We employ compassion. We employ and clothe and put on kindness. That means we do good stuff. We do good acts, kind acts for other people. Humility, that is, we know our place. We don't think of ourselves more highly than other people. We put on meekness. Meekness is a great word. It's a wonderful word. It doesn't mean what you think it means. Meekness doesn't mean weak. It actually means you're powerful, but you have that power under control. There are moments of power where we can exert power and will and inflict pain, but we restrain ourselves. We hold back that. That's meekness. And then patience, willing to be a long suffering, willing to wait. We are simply not going to make it in this life without compassionate hearts, acts of kindness, humble hearts, being meek and being patient. These five characteristics combine to ensure healthy relationships of all kinds in your marriages, in your friendships, in your work relationships, in church relationships, in if you're on a team, being compassionate and kind and humble and meek and patient will ensure good relationship. But Paul doesn't stop there. He goes further. He says, bear with one another. Forgive one another as Christ forgave you. I'm so glad he put that qualifier on there. Because as much as we pray for forgiveness, ask for forgiveness, as much as we know that we have a need to be forgiven, Paul says the way that you have that need and the way that you desire that need and the way that you pray for that need and you receive it, you need to grant that to other people. So many people have power over us because we refuse to forgive them. So many people steer, drive us every way. Where we go and where we walk is a lot of times is driven by the folks that we refuse to forgive. But Paul says, forgive as Christ forgave you. It's the reason why we're hidden in Christ. It's the reason that we are part of this beloved community. It's one of the reasons that we are chosen. As Christ forgave us. And then Paul goes further. Clothe yourselves with love and let peace rule your hearts. Isn't it amazing that in all of the letters and all of the books in the New Testament, we keep coming back to love, agape, doing what's in the other person's best interest. We keep coming back to love. Above everything, put on love and seek out peace, seek out shalom, seek out the best in others. But then Paul goes further. He says, seek harmony, be thankful, let the word dwell in you, teach and admonish one another, sing and worship together. Seek harmony in the body of Christ. Be thankful for all things. And I wish that our churches and our members and all of us, I wish that if we had a scale, that the scale would tilt in favor of being thankful rather than our complaints. But oftentimes in churches, it's the other way, isn't it? We complain about everything. Man, it's a beautiful day outside. It's too muggy. Man, it's sunny outside, but still, it's still hazy. There's so much good going on in Christ's church. I wish that we would be thankful. And trust me, we live in America. We live in a country where we are able to express our Christianity in ways that in other countries would dream of. It's interesting that in the church, in the countries where Christianity is restricted, and in the countries where Christianity is frowned upon from government and higher powers, the church is growing like crazy. But in the place where it's most free, it's declining. I wish we were more thankful. I wish we were more in harmony. Paul concludes Colossians 3:17 by saying, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. See, as chosen ones with new identities, our goal is to find ourselves in community with other men and women, building relationships with one another in community, all to the glory of God. This is why being a part of a church community is important. This is why coming and participating in a weekly gathering is important. This is why finding opportunities to connect outside of here is important. This is why singing songs and listening to songs and teaching and admonishing one another isn't important. I'm part of a wonderful text thread that's my family in Buffalo, and I have one of my aunts, my mother's youngest sister. She's typically the prime mover, and every morning she sends out a text that includes a daily reading, typically a psalm, just to start our day off with the scripture. That's what it means to teach and admonish one another with songs and psalms and spiritual songs. We do this in community. It's important that we understand that community is a highlight of being in the body of Christ. This is not a single sport. This isn't something where we're on our own. This isn't golf where it's all about you and your score to par, and it's all about yourself. No, this is a team sport. We're all in this together. And while we're in this together, it's important that we bear with one another. You know, there's just going to be times in the body of Christ we're going to get on each other's nerves. It's just going to happen because we're humans. How many people know about that in families? How many of y'all got siblings that y'all get on each other's nerves? If it doesn't happen to y'all, it happens to my daughter's siblings. They get on each other's nerves. But guess what? They're going to have to live in the same house. They're going to have to learn how to live with each other. They're going to have to learn how to bear with one another. It's the same thing in the body of Christ. We're sisters and brothers. Sometimes there's going to be moments we don't get along. Sometimes there's going to be moments where your preference is different from my preference. We're going to have to bear with one another. We're going to have to be compassionate to one another. We're going to have to be kind to one another. We're going to have to demonstrate humility with one another. We're going to have to be meek with one another. We're going to have to be patient. We're going to have to seek harmony, seek peace, and above all, love. Whatever we do, word or deed, we endeavor to do it in the name of Jesus. Listen again to this text, Colossians 3:12 through 17, from the Message. So chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you, compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. Be even-tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. Never be without it. Let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other, in step with each other. None of this going off and doing your own thing. And cultivate thankfulness. Let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct and direct one another using good common sense, and sing. Sing your hearts out to God. Let every detail in your lives, words, actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master, Jesus. Thanking God the Father every step of the way. Several years ago, C. Leonard Allen, who's a professor at Lipscomb, head of the Bible department at Lipscomb University, wrote a book called The Cruciform Church. It was an eye-opening church. It addressed the the crisis that Churches of Christ found themselves in. And simply put, the book was about Christians coming back and placing themselves at the foot of the cross and becoming people shaped by the cross. That's what this letter of Colossians is all about. It's about reminding Christians that you have been shaped, that you have been molded, that you have been made into an image shaped by the cross, a cruciform church. And being a cruciform church, that means the old self, the old man, the old woman, the old person, it dies, cruciform. That stuff dies. All the worldly influence, all the secular influence, that all dies when we become a cruciform church. So as an invitation today, I want to invite us all to be that cruciform church. Sit beneath the cross of Jesus. And as its shadow, the cross casts its shadow on us, may we agree to be shaped by the implications of the cross. May we take our rightful place as chosen ones. It was an honor back in 1988 to be chosen to be a part of the Hutch Tech Engineers. But I can't help but think about the days at the playground, Johnson Park, Buffalo, New York. I'm a young kid. I don't know how to play. Meyer, you know about this, man, at the park. People picking up your squads and got everybody there. Man, at Johnson Park, it'd be 50 fellas out there, 50 kids, boys. And you got the two captains. Fred Staples was the, like, Johnson Park legend. He was always one of the captains, and it was somebody else. And you're always standing there thinking, oh, man, I hope he picks me. I hope he picks me. And they pick five. They pick five. I'm never chosen. Then they run it. Then someone else had, hey, I got next. And so you're going up to the person that has next. Hey, man, can I run with you? Can I run with you? Man, can I run with you? Oh, man, I already got my five. Man, not chosen again. Then he gets on the team. Then someone else says, yo, I got next. You go to him. Yo, can I get on your squad, man? Can you choose me? Never got chosen. It's not like that in church, y'all. Your ability, your skill, your aptitude, throw that out the window. The only thing that's required is a willing heart. A heart that says, yes, Jesus, I'll follow you. I'll run with you. And on this squad, the basketball, you only have five people per team. In the kingdom squad, you have as many as we want. So will we take our place in this cruciform church beneath the cross of Jesus? That we would make a stand, that we would live as chosen ones, that we would put on compassion and kindness and humility and meekness and patience, and that we would bear with one another, and that above all we would put on love, and that we would sing to each other, and that whatever we do in word or deed, we would do in the name of Jesus, always giving thanks. May we be a people that gives more thanks than more complaints in the cruciform church. That's the invitation today. As we're singing this next song, if there's a way we can be helpful to you through prayer, through conversation, through company. This is a moment. We sing the song. We stand up. If you're visiting with us, you're welcome to just come forward and share with me, share with one of the elders a need that you have. We'll pray for that need. We'll talk to you about that need. We will meet your need. If today is a day that you want to stand up with Christ, you want to be buried with Christ and raised with Christ through baptism, you want to take on this new life that is hidden in Jesus Christ, you can do that this morning. We will all celebrate. We will stay and share in that wonderful blessing, and we will celebrate it with God and the angels in heaven who are celebrating, saying, we've got one more on the team. Let's stand. Let's sing it.